Hi there, this is Ross Conrad, and I'll be reading to you my article that appears in the September 2026 edition of Bee Culture Magazine. The title of the article is Tropolelaps Redux, Part 2. Last month, we looked at some of the recent research focused on the ability of the mite Tropolelaps mercedesae to survive a migration from its current distribution, mostly in southern Asia, to other areas such as North America. Tropolelaps mercedesae's spread has been extremely limited compared to varroa's, primarily due to the mite's inability to survive on swarming European honeybees. This appears true even when an artificial swarm is given frames of drawn-out comb so the queen can lay eggs and the colony can start raising brood faster than when a newly established swarm must build comb from scratch in an empty cavity. This month, we'll explore some of the studies that are focused on figuring out how we might respond should the mite ever manage to arrive on American shores. Researchers from Auburn University and North Dakota State University, in collaboration with Faculty of Agriculture at Chiang Mai University in Thailand, published a study in April that evaluated Tropolelaps monitoring methods in managed European honeybee hives. To monitor for Tropolelaps, commercial beekeeping operations will need a quick method that only requires a single trip to the bee yard. However, it appears that the vast majority of beekeepers that are small scale already have a great monitoring option available. Researchers found, of all the methods evaluated, bottom board sticky traps had a 100% sensitivity for detecting Tropolelaps infestations. This was better than the brood frame bump test or uncapping worker brood and inspecting each uncapped cell for the presence of mites. To quote the authors of the study, quote, "The findings in this study highlight that simply recycling monitoring methods that are effective for varroa destructor will not result in successful detection of Tropolelaps mercedesae. While the alcohol wash and powdered sugar shake demonstrated superior sensitivity and produced a higher number of mean detections compared to worker brood cell uncapping for varroa destructor, these methods were inferior to bottom board sticky trap worker brood cell uncapping and the brood frame bump test for Tropolelaps mercedesae. This is likely primarily attributable to the fact that varroa destructor females feed on the fat bodies of honeybee adults while in the dispersal phase, and that this is a necessary part of their life cycle. In comparison, Tropolelaps mercedesae is thought to be incapable of feeding on adult honeybees, and therefore has a limited need to be on adult bees. Although bottom board sticky traps had 100% sensitivity and provided the highest number of detections per sampling, they require multiple apiary visits and take longer to inspect than brood frame bump tests, limiting their feasibility for widespread adoption at a larger scale. Similarly, worker brood cell uncapping is also limited by sample processing and is not as practical for large-scale adoption." Unquote. Due to its close proximity to currently infested areas, the island continent of Australia is considered a prime candidate to experience Tropolelaps incursion in the near future. Researchers there evaluated a half-dozen mite detection approaches for their efficacy and cost-effectiveness. Quote, "We conducted field trials in Papua New Guinea using 27 infested Apis mellifera colonies across six apiaries to evaluate six Tropolelaps detection methods: bump test, alcohol wash, modified rapid brood uncapping, worker brood uncapping, environmental DNA swabs, and sticky mats with an acaricide. DNA swabs and acaricides with sticky mats had the highest sensitivity detecting tropolelapse in 100% and 92% of the tested infested colonies, respectively, while the alcohol wash and bump test had a sensitivity of 41% and 33% in the tested hives. Cost analysis identified rapid brood uncapping as the most cost-effective method at $6.87 Australian per test. While DNA swabs and acaricide-treated sticky mats, despite their high sensitivity, were substantially more expensive at $28.75 Australian and $57.08 Australian per test, respectively. This study provides critical evidence to strengthen current honeybee biosecurity surveillance protocols and underscores the need for adoption of the most sensitive, standardized, cost-effective tropolelapse detection methods to improve early detection and thereby strengthen international honeybee biosecurity, unquote. If manufacturers can develop a DNA swab test that can provide results quickly in the field and get the costs down, its 100% effectiveness makes it the best monitoring tool available for use on an industry-wide scale. Monitoring for the presence of mites is one thing. What's really needed to quell the fears and concerns of beekeepers is the ability to effectively control tropolelapse. Formic acid is an approved varroa mite treatment that, while corrosive, is non-toxic, and most importantly, is able to penetrate brood cappings and kill mites reproducing in capped cells. One recent study examined the effectiveness of formic acid treatments to control tropolelapse and found Formic Pro was actually more effective at killing tropolelapse than varroa, and it achieved complete tropolelapse mercedesae mortality within 2.5 days. Quote, this study evaluated the within-brood cell efficiency of two formic acid-based treatments, Formic Pro and Muravinca, against tropolelapse mercedesae and varroa destructor in western Georgia, a humid subtropical region where colonies were managed under Western beekeeping practices and exposed to late summer and autumn conditions relevant to many temperate apicultural systems. Field trials were conducted in August and October 2025 using Apis mellifera colonies in single modified Daydant hives. Mite mortality, brood infestation, brood age, specific survival, and colony strength were assessed. Both treatments induced rapid and near complete mortality of Tropolelapse mercedesae in both seasons and reduced brood infestation to near zero levels. Mortality of varroa destructor increased significantly but remained incomplete and was strongly season dependent, with significant effects observed only in October. Brood age-specific analysis showed higher varroa destructor survival in younger brood stages, particularly following Muravinca treatment, while Tropolelapse mercedesae survival was not affected by brood age. Short-term formic acid exposure generally had no negative effects on colony strength, although adverse effects were observed in some heavily varroa-infested colonies. These findings confirm that formic acid is highly effective against Tropolelapse mercedesae under conditions representative of temperate apiculture, but provides variable control of varroa destructor. Integrated pest management in newly invaded regions should therefore emphasize treatment, timing, and environmental conditions, and should not assume equivalent efficiency against both mite species. unquote. Meanwhile, researchers in India have found that essential oils of thyme and eucalyptus have potential for managing both varroa and tropilelepis mites in hives. More work needs to be done in this area, since the trials were run on Tropilelepis claria and not Tropilelepis mercedesae. However, these initial results do suggest that the current commercially available thymol-based varroa treatments, Apilife Var, Apigard, and Thymovar, could play a role in an integrated pest management approach to Tropilelepis control. Current essential oil and formic acid treatments are highly temperature sensitive. In most parts of the United States, there are extended periods of the year where average daytime temperatures are either too hot or too cold for either of them to work effectively. This means that, barring some scientific breakthrough, if Tropilelepis was found in North America tomorrow, effective control would require a combination of commercially available mite treatments and management techniques that result in an interruption of the honeybee's brood cycle. About 3.5 years ago, I wrote in these pages that Tropilelepis is not likely to appear in the U.S. anytime soon. The research indicates that it's the mite's inability to survive for very long without access to uncapped brood that appears to be the primary cause. As a result, calls to ban all imports of European honeybee queens and packaged bees are not based on the data and the facts. While the T. mite spread to the U.S. is not impossible, as last year's cargo vessel carrying an Apis dorsata swarm showed, existing prevention and biosecurity practices worked, and the mite was intercepted before making landfall. Even though it is unlikely to happen, if the mite were to arrive in America, I submit that the impact would be significant. We would absolutely have to change the way we currently manage our bees, or we would lose them. This is especially true for the large-scale operations that typically manage more colonies than they have the staff to adequately care for without cutting corners. We now know some effective methods available to us to help detect and control Tropilelepis should the need arise. Other than supporting those who are working to learn more about this mite and making sure our government maintains its current biosecurity protocols, there is not a lot more we really need to do. It would be foolish to allow the unlikely event of Tropilelepis coming to America to cause us to take our eye off the issues we are challenged with today. I find that it's better to focus my energy on things that have the potential to have a significant impact on my apiaries and are highly likely to happen, such as keeping varroa mites from getting out of control, making sure that my colonies don't run out of nutritional resources that they need to stay healthy, and mitigating my colonies' exposure to the hundreds of tons of toxic pesticides that are spread across the landscape annually. Honeybee parasitic mite researcher Samuel Ramsey is one of a number of scientists continuing to work on the Tropilelepis issue. Dr. Ramsey's current projects include working on understanding the traits that make Tropilelepis mercedesae good at invading new regions and how to target those traits, creating a handheld, field-deployable, rapid and accurate diagnostic system for detecting Tropilelepis that is kind of like a COVID test for honeybee hives, and looking at what mix of chemical and non-chemical management practices will work best for Tropilelepis mercedesae control and eradication. Unfortunately, changes in U.S. government spending priorities no longer favor scientific research like this, so scientists, like Dr. Ramsey, are trying to do a lot with very little. If you are interested and are able to do so, please consider donating to the Ramsey Research Foundation by visiting their website or scanning the QR code published with this article. This has been Ross Conrad, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and for being a subscriber to Bee Culture Magazine.